brought to you by Penguin.
Until August, by Gabriel Garcia Marquez. Read by Catalina Sandino Moreno, Cristobal Pera, and Rodrigo Garcia.
Preface. The memory loss our father suffered in his final years, as most people will find easy to imagine, was extremely tough on all of us. But in particular, the way that loss diminished his ability to continue to write with his customary rigor was a source of desperate frustration for him. He told us once with the clarity and eloquence of the great writer he was, "Memory is at once my source material and my tool. Without it, there's nothing." Until August was the fruit of one last effort to carry on creating against all odds. The process was a race between his artistic perfectionism and his vanishing mental faculties. The lengthy back and forth of the many versions of the text is described in detail, much better than we could, by our friend Cristobal Pera in his editor's note for the Spanish edition. At the time, all we knew was Gabo's final judgment. "This book doesn't work. It must be destroyed." We did not destroy it, but we did set it aside in the hope that time would decide what to do with it. Reading it again almost 10 years after his death, we discovered that the text contained a great many wonderful achievements. It is not, of course, as polished as his greatest books. It has a few rough patches and contradictions, but nothing that impedes enjoyment of the most outstanding aspects of Gabo's work: his capacity for invention, his poetic use of language, his captivating storytelling, his understanding of humankind, and his affection for our experiences and misadventures, especially when it comes to love. Love, possibly the main subject of his entire oeuvre. Judging the book to be much better than we remembered it, another possibility occurred to us: that the fading faculties that kept him from finishing the book also kept him from realizing how good it was. In an act of betrayal, we decided to put his reader's pleasure ahead of all other considerations. If they are delighted, it's possible Gabo might forgive us. In that, we trust. Rodrigo and Gonzalo Garcia Barcha.
1. She returned to the island on Friday, August 16th, on the 3 o'clock ferry. She was wearing jeans, a plaid shirt, plain flat shoes without socks, carrying a satin parasol and a handbag, and her only luggage was a beach bag. In the row of taxis at the dock, she went straight to an old model corroded by the sea air. The driver welcomed her warmly and took her jolting across the destitute village, with its mud-walled shacks, palm-thatched roofs, and streets of burning sand beside a sea in flames. He had to swerve around undaunted pigs and naked children pretending to be toreadors. On the outskirts of the village, he drove down an avenue of royal palms where the beaches and the tourist hotels were, between the open sea and a lagoon inhabited by blue herons. At last, he stopped outside the oldest, most dilapidated hotel. The concierge was waiting for her with a registration card ready to sign and the keys to the only room on the second floor that overlooked the lagoon. She climbed the stairs in 4 strides and entered the shabby room that smelled of recent fumigation and was almost entirely occupied by an enormous double bed. She took a kidskin toiletry case out of her bag and a book with uncut pages that she put on the nightstand, with an ivory paper knife marking her place. She took out a pink silk nightgown and tucked it under the pillow. She also took out a silk scarf printed with tropical birds, a short-sleeved white shirt, and a pair of very worn tennis shoes, and carried them into the bathroom. Before getting dressed, she took off her wedding ring and the men's watch she wore on her right wrist, put them on the shelf above the sink.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?